Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
This week, it is April 21st, 2020. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining every single one of you. This is our 133rd episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And, of course, as usual, you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on iHeart Podcast and Spotify, and, of course, Podomatic.com. Thank you for liking and following our Facebook page and all the other latest shows that we stick up there. Steve's been doing a great job of filling up the YouTube channel with some of our archive shows. I also want to take a moment to say hi to Witch Doctor Restoration, our most recent sponsors. So let your project be a Witch Doctor project. Yeah, the Witch Doctor can do big jobs, small jobs, dream jobs. You give him a call, 206-437-1700. Yeah, the actual commercial that we cut for him has some kind of, I don't want to say jungle drums, but it's funky drums that I found that I thought would be fun to do. Anyway, our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop, and that is where Steve rummages around on the internet and other clever sources of information and finds cool stuff about the automotive news and world of information. As usual, what is it that you have this week, sir?
Well, I came across a very interesting note in history of car history.
Ooh, the history of car history.
Yes. The April 21st, that was yesterday, if you're listening to it today, or we're recording it on the 22nd. But nonetheless, can you tell me what happened on April 21st, 1976, that marks a special day in car history?
Let's see. 1976, April 21st.
Yep.
That would have been the day that the pictures of the bicentennially painted fire plugs were released throughout the city of Everett and Snohomish County.
No, basically...
No, it was, but that's a whole separate issue.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, April 21st, 1976 marks the day when Cadillac announced it would no longer be offering convertible options to its line of cars.
No.
Yes.
It's true. Although they backed away from that.
Well, in 1976, they rolled the Fleetwood Eldorado convertible off and said, this is the final
production.
Yeah. Cadillac to come out. So when did they reinstate the convertible Cadillac?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one. I know they did, but
I haven't seen any recent, have
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, there's some out there. I couldn't tell you the year. I'd have to look. That's a good,
yeah,
that's a good
I
one.
I think that's a good one. So that'll do a little history. Then, speaking of history, recall notice, Hyundai's recalling smart-equipped Sonatas. Newest semi-autonomous technology, self-parking technologies, has some glitches. I've seen that commercial where, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of a cool feature.
It is. Although
it will keep people from ever learning how to parallel park.
Oh, my gosh.
If you had that car. Because, well, let the car do it. Now, you can't.
I kind of pride myself in being able to parallel in some very tight corners.
It's a skill set.
And actually, my Astro van is very tight wheelbase, so it does a very good job.
Yeah.
And so nearly 12,000 vehicles with this option are being recalled right now.
Well, that's really not too bad, though. 12,000 is not much of a recall. That's easily solvable.
No, and there's a lot of idle hands right now, so they'll be able to take care of business.
Isn't that it?
And speaking of idle hands, the enormous economic fallout of COVID-19 pandemic has set the global economy into a free-for-all, prompting financial regulators in Great Britain to take a look at new strategy to help cash-strapped consumers. A moratorium on car payments is one of the suggestions. And, you know, we've heard this before, even over here, of suggesting that, you know, people with payments, they're forced to not be able to work. It's not like they got laid off.
And that is true.
I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how many of these things go through. I've heard of, I think the PUD, which is our local public utility district, they have said that you don't have to...
You're not going to be penalized for paying late.
Paying late. That's
And there's a big difference between that and not paying at all.
Oh, no, you will have to pay.
And so they talk about, we can back this up. Well, you got to have money set aside. This is not a trickle-up, you know, economy. It doesn't work that way. And there are people who are going to be without money. And, you know, the banks made loans based on a percentage, and that's going to come back to us at some point. So I hope that they figure this out, and I hope that they have room for some sort of creative solutions that allow for people to get back to the job, even if half crews, so that you have some distance.
Right.
And, you know, there's ways to do this that, that make more sense than, you know, let's all just hide in the house, even though I understand the medical need.
Yep. Well, and speaking of hiding, the price of oil is pretty much plummeted down to nothing.
It's, Except in Washington.
I just looked at the today's. Now, you've heard this negative trading in the barrel of oil and blah, blah. Well, I went online. It's actually trading at about $11 a barrel right now.
Sure.
As of the 21st. So that means a 55-gallon drum is a barrel. That's like 21 cents a gallon. Of oil.
Well, of course it is. But
and,
not.
But the thing is, when you add in all the added additional pricing that goes
by the time you do the
processing
and make it to actual gas.
Yes, yes.
But see, around the country, they are. I'm watching this story myself because it's interesting. Of course, here in Washington State, where we record this show, our tax structure is ludicrous when it comes to gas. Everybody else is running, you know, a buck 20, something like that. You hear prices for $1.79.
Right.
We are $2.78 on average for regular gas here. And that's because of this, of Sound Transit and some other tax structures in Washington. They love a tax.
Yes,
never,
they do.
Never met a tax they didn't like. So
no.
All this wonderful, you know, around the country, gas is cheap, and we ain't getting
that.
We ain't getting squat.
No, and I was going to say, part of it's to do with the income tax, so that's
where a lot
of it, we don't have one here.
No.
But it is the RTA extra tax that has really jumped everything up.
Yep.
So good news, though. First up is SEMA stated that two-thirds of the aftermarket industry continues. That's aftermarket parts industry.
Of course,
continues to operate during the COVID-19
That's a good deal.
Scenario, setting a majority of businesses in the specialty automotive industry continues to operate. Second is turning a problem into profit. VP Racing Fuels, a producer of performance fuels, lubricants, and additives, today announced the launch of VP hand sanitizer products to support the needs of the commercial businesses, retailers, and even racetracks.
That's nice. They found another use for carburetor cleaner, huh?
Oh, God, it's 80%. This stuff is 80% alcohol, antiseptic product.
It's
not the kind of thing you're just going to want to use around the house. And speaking of which, I listened to a show that is about your house and that kind of thing on Saturday, and she said, warning, a lot of things that are being sold are not safe to use in the home on anything. It'll basically eat the paint off, and it's bad for your health.
Yeah, you got to be
careful. And Amazon is actually now yanking certain products that have been being sold, which is industrial cleaning products for factories.
I saw an ad, honest to gosh, on Facebook for a sanitizing product, a cleaning product, basically, that was, it had something in it and DMSO. Do you remember DMSO?
Oh, yeah.
DMSO is that solvent that they touted for a long time about being really good for everything and made you smell like garlic.
But you don't want to use both of those things.
No, you wouldn't want to use them at all.
As a matter of fact,
they took it off the market for a reason.
Well, you can actually still get it. Now, there's a purpose for DMSO. But here's the thing.
Yeah, parts
cleaning. You add any, if you add anything else to it, it absorbs into your system and
it
becomes...
Well, it did anyway. DMSO is automatically absorbed into your system. That was the problem with
it. That was the problem with it. It's also the, if you got... really, really bad arthritis. It was something my grandmother used, and it helped. So due to requests by the customers, the company has expanded their product line. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, good for them.
It is a good thing. Now, another cool story. Audi of Denver service technicians are producing highly detailed narrated videos to help customers see what needs to be replaced or fixed on their vehicle. So in other words, they drop them in. They say, I've got a problem or whatever, and they go around with their... their cameras, and they videotape everything, and then they send it in the email and say, hey, here is where we're seeing a problem. So now...
Oh, so it's kind of like the YouTube videos where you can fix your car, except they're actually diagnosing and showing what your car needs.
Yes.
Nice. I like that. That's a good idea.
I think it's really good because it's a great way for these guys to be able to say, we're not fooling. Here's a leak here. Here's a problem here. And it's actually really... allowing the employees to keep working and the general public to feel comfortable about the fact that their car's being worked on and actually be done right. And I think this might be a trend because a lot of people are going to want to go on and find out where their car is in the process and is it really being worked on. So maybe a spy cam
in the
corner.
And is it work that you need?
Yes.
After all, sure, of course. That's actually a pretty good idea. I'm not unhappy with that at all.
Nope.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on The Windshield View, we are going to do something we have never done before on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. You have to be a part of this. Do not go away. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View. And this week, we are doing something we've never done before.
Never.
There are a lot of podcasts on the net, and many of them are about hot rodding, cars, and all facets of the automotive world. But tonight, we are pleased to bring the host of one of those shows here as our guest. Cars Yeah is a great podcast that you can hear pretty much any day of the week. And then the host of that show is Mark Green. Mark wasn't always a podcaster. He paid his dues in the automotive world as a CEO of Griot's Garage. And I, for one, would love to hear the story of how he got from there to here. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing, Brady and Steve? I really appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. It's as Steve mentioned, we've certainly share and talk about other podcasts and other people who are doing what we do. It's a great big community, but this is actually the first time we've had the host of another show on, so we are very, very glad to have you share our air.
Well, I'm very honored. That's wow. I get a bit of a scoop here
you
at
do.
Horsepower.
You
do. Chrome and Rust. So I'm very grateful for that, you guys. Thank you.
No worries. Well, now, as Steve mentioned, you've been doing this for a while. I think your shows, as I looked on the YouTube channel tonight, and we're gonna plug your YouTube channel and your Facebook page and everything else, but there is one. If you remember the word or the title Cars Yeah, and you plug that into practically any search engine, you'll find all of Mark's stuff.
Yes.
It's an easy one to get to. But I think you're up to 1536 or so now.
Right, exactly. And actually, today I recorded my 1,550th show,
nice.
Which will go up in May. And as the day we're recording your show here, I've got a very special guest coming up on Friday. He's guest number 1539. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it's Brady Wright.
Some guy? I heard of this guy. He's apparently amazing.
Yeah. He's incredible. He's probably the best guest I've ever had. I can't wait to debut him this Friday on Car Show.
I understand he's very humble, too. I'm told he's extremely humble.
Yeah, and as soon as his check arrives in my mailbox, I'll release that show. Too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's. I think it's been delayed by the coronavirus, so you might want to hold your breath on that one.
Like
hey,
everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, isn't that the truth. Well, you know what? We are maintaining social distance here. Steve is at least 6 feet from me, and you're a little farther than that. But you're also a Northwest guy, and we mentioned in the intro that you kind of paid your dues, if you want to call it that, by being the CEO of Griot's Garage. Now, for people who aren't familiar, and I don't know how you could possibly not be familiar. Run down a little bit on what Grios was about and is about, and how you got from there to where you are.
Well, I appreciate you asking me. And first and foremost, I want to clarify, I was the president at Griot's Garage. Richard Griot was the CEO. So you gave me a promotion there, so I'll be waiting for that other check to show up in the mail from you guys as well.
Richard's going to be sending you that one.
Yeah, that's okay. The story's rather long, but I know we have a limited time here, so I'll try to condense it best I can. I grew up in Southern California. I was a surfer kid, long-haired surfer kid. Grew up in a beautiful part of San Diego called La Jolla. And I went to college, met my wife. We've been married for over 35 years. And I studied graphic design, advertising, and business. And I went into the world of advertising and so forth. And one of my clients that I picked up was this startup company called Griot's Garage. They had mailed me their very first catalog, which, by the way, had a 1972 Porsche 911S, if I could speak properly this evening, on the cover. And that car eventually became my car, which
was very
kind of
nice.
A cool deal. But that's a bit of a sidebar.
Cool little
and
perk.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and land this account, which is what I did. So the company I was with at the time, Warner Design, we did a lot of catalog work, design, production, photography, copywriting, advertising. And so I landed that account. We started doing the Griot's Garage catalog. It's in its half of its first year, I believe. And then Richard asked me to come on board as a partner in the business. Gave me a part of that company, and he said, hey, how would you like to help us build this? I want you to come on board and be in charge of branding, marketing, merchandising, and emptying the trash and just about everything else, because at that time there was only three of us in the company. It was very young down in Vista, California.
Get to wear a lot of
now,
hats.
If you fast forward through time, I was there for 20 plus years. I was technically working on that book for almost 25 years. I believe they're celebrating coming up this fall their 30th anniversary. So I was there for a long, long time, and I got to do a lot of cool things while I was there. I got to build up the car care brand, develop all of those products. I got to travel the world and look for very cool products to brand and bring into the business. And I got to learn how to run a business and write the copy and all the different aspects. We branched out and bought a chemical company and started producing our own car care products. I learned all about developing car care products and chemistry and so forth. Richard found an old Coca-Cola bottling building in Tacoma, Washington. He promptly said, here's a new job for you, but you'll have to do this at night. My wife called it my evening mistress, and I got to design the headquarters, which is really a spectacular building I'm really proud of.
It is gorgeous.
So I got to get my hands on a lot of stuff. I raced vintage cars for 12 years while I was there. So that kind of brings us up to 7 years ago now. And then I started thinking, you know, I think it's time for me to start something different and new. You know, when you've been in a place for a long, long time, you start thinking about, well, maybe there's something else for me to do in my life. And then our family was met with a lot of tragedy. My wife had a very serious ailment. She required her to be bedridden for quite a long time and surgeries. My father, who was 80 at the time, fell and broke his neck. My mother-in-law got cancer. So we got like the triple whammy in our family, and it was very dark year, very challenging. My son was away at college, and I decided to stay home to care for my wife. And for the first time in my life, I had no income and was getting very nervous because those tuition bills from those private colleges are quite large.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, they are.
So my son came home from college his first year and said, Dad, you know what you should do? You've been taking me to car shows and races my whole life. What's the one thing I tease you about? You can't walk by anybody without asking them about their car and their business, because I love business. I'm very entrepreneurial in my mind. I started my own detailing business when I was 14 years old, and that helped pay for my college education. And I said, Blake, how do you make money going to car shows and talking to people? Because I want that job. And he said, well, how about a podcast? And I said, I have no idea what that is. What's a podcast? And that's when it started. I dove headfirst into learning about podcasts. I joined groups. I called every podcaster who would take my call. I learned all about podcasting, how they make money through advertising. And so I decided in 3 months' time, I created the Cars Yeah podcast, built my own website, branded it, came up with the whole concept that my mantra or my slogan was going to be, which is trademarked, inspiring automotive enthusiasts. My goal was to inspire automotive enthusiasts by interviewing inspiring automotive enthusiasts. A little double entendre going on.
There you go, absolutely.
That's why I have people like Brady Wright on the show.
Who's that
and,
guy?
And 1,550 other people on the show. So, yeah, so that's a fast forward to how I got to where I started this. I launched it on May 28th. This upcoming May 28th will be my sixth year. And quite honestly, guys, I kind of thought I would just do this for a year or two and maybe do something different. Luckily, a few headhunters had recruited me and talked to me about going and either running companies or working at companies. But none of the jobs sounded very good. And one of them I almost took. My wife said, I don't think you're very excited about this. And I said, well, we kind of need to make some money. And, you know, we got a kid in school and a lot of medical bills. And she goes, well, don't go do something just because you have to do it. You need to do something you're passionate about. You've been into cars your whole life. Do that. Take a gamble. Try this podcast thing. If it doesn't work, well, then you can try something else.
What a terrific wife to have. What a terrific attitude to take, especially under the kind of, you know, duress and stress that that situation must have caused. That is truly amazing. You are a lucky man.
I want to
ask you something, and I think it maybe is fair to say, Cars Yeah is a very cool show, and if I do say so myself, you got a lot of fantastic guests. Is it fair to say, and we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break because we're heading to that, is it fair to say that it's more of a personality show almost than a topical show? Because it seems to me you talk an awful lot about the people involved, and not as much, although there's certainly some stuff about cars. Is that fair?
It's about the people, and it's about how those people have figured out the secret sauce to life, and that is wrapping their passion into
Super.
Their careers, their businesses, and their world.
Nice. That's well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Windshield View will be back with more from Mark Green on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
And we are back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, we were talking with Mark Green from the podcast Cars Yeah, a super podcast, if I do say so myself. And you can find it on Facebook if you just go to Cars Yeah. You can also find his podcast at carsyeah.com/podcast-2. That's a lot of stuff. We're going to publish these addresses on the page so you can find it. But if you go Google Cars Yeah, Y-E-A-H, you will find all of his locations, including the YouTube channel, which is very, very cool. Mark, welcome back.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here. This is very cool, you guys.
Listen, just before the break, we were talking about some of the personalities that you have interviewed on your show, and I kind of want to go that direction in this particular segment. Steve had something he wanted to ask you, however.
Well, speaking of personalities, I remember Mark, and maybe he's going to remember me, but I was one of those early interviews, and he was interviewed on my show at the time, the Hog Radio Show. And
yes.
he and I connected,
okay.
And
nice.
We interviewed him on our show, and then he turned around and interviewed me.
Very nice.
And that, yeah, that was about 7 years ago or 6 years ago. So
it was you were one of the early guys when I was getting my teeth bit into this. And yeah, sometimes I have a hard time going back and listening to some of those older shows because I'm like, oh, I wasn't very well polished, but. I really appreciated those first guests like you, Steve, that helped and trusted me to get my shows going. I really appreciate that very much.
Well, and it's kind of full circle because now I don't do anything with motorcycles, but we started this automotive show a couple years ago, and I'm looking at what you're doing. I'm going, I'm going to apply some of that to what we're doing, and you picked it up. And
the student becomes the teacher.
That's right. So I have a passion for business and for podcasting as well, and I love your spirit. I do listen to your show, and it is about people and their inspiring stories. And so talk to us about a couple of those really aha moments, those really special shows that you've had over the years. Some of the people that maybe you didn't expect that all of a sudden at the end of the interview are going, wow, that was a phenomenal time.
Yes, boy, there's so many. So I know, again, we've got time limits here. So I could talk for a long, long time about that topic. I have a lot of different categories of people on my show. And I'll run through them real quickly, and then I'll tell you a couple quick stories here. If you go to my website, carsyeah.com, I'm very easy to find. Click on the resources tab at the top, and you'll find artists, journalists, authors, celebrities, concours, people, directors, resources. The whole resources category is the biggest one. Builders, fabricators, car care people, detailers, museum directors, curators, photographers, racers, and a whole category over 200 women that I've interviewed that are in the automotive industry. Now, I get asked this question a lot about favorite guests and so forth. You can't really answer that question.
No.
It's like, who's my favorite child, right? That wouldn't work because I've got more than one. So I'll tell you a couple quick stories. One of the stories that was really compelling to me was Renee Brinkerhoff. She is a woman that in her early 50s, one day after raising kids and doing laundry, decided she wanted to go racing. And she really had never raced before, and her husband came home, and she said, I want to go racing. And he went, what? Where's dinner? And she said, no, I want to go racing. And she went racing big time. She bought a Porsche 356. She went and raced the Carrera Panamera.
Nice.
And
that's
won.
Diving in.
The first year, she won her class. She went back and did it again. And then she decided, okay, that's not enough. I'm going to race on every continent. So she has now done 6 of 7 continent races. These are long-range, multi-day rallies
right. That
are at speed, and it's just incredible what she's done. I've since had both her daughters on the show. One has been a co-pilot in some of her ventures, and one has been a videographer who's documenting what she's doing. And she started a program through this adventure in her life called Valkyrie Racing, and she's decided to raise money for children and women that are trafficked in the sex traffic market to try to make people aware that's going on and help stop that tragedy from happening around the world.
What a terrific cause.
And incredible woman. You can find, again, all her shows and on Cars Yeah. That one really blew me away because I didn't know about her history, which basically didn't include racing. She just decided to go racing, and boy, did she go racing. So an incredible inspiration. And plus, there's going to be a little trend here that you're going to catch on, which is the secret sauce to life that I've discovered after interviewing all these people. And I'll give that away in a minute. Another guest that really blew me away was the late Nicole McGuire. Now, this is Barry McGuire's daughter.
Right.
She's an incredible person. I didn't know a lot about her history, but I wanted to have her on because she had a Concours event, and it still operates maybe not this year, but she has a Concours that she started to raise money for wayward kids that have drug abuse problems. Maybe they've gotten into the wrong circles and so forth. It's a way to give back and help young people. And I didn't know our talk was going to go there, but in our talk, I always ask my guests about a failure or challenge they've faced. And it's really to share how they got through it and what was the lesson learned. And she told me about a very abusive marriage she had. Her husband was terrible to her. She was so depressed, and she hadn't told anybody because she was embarrassed by it, which quite often can happen in those types of situations. She decided to kill herself. And I didn't know we were going to go there in this talk. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, this is big time serious stuff. And she explained how she decided. She wrote her parents a note. She was going to go and kill herself. She was going to buy a big bottle of booze and some pills, and she was done. Life was horrible for her. Thank goodness she was busted in a drug sting when she was buying those drugs. Oh. She ended up in jail. She met somebody in jail who convinced her her life was worth living if she figured out a way to help other people. And that's the secret sauce. That's the lesson that I have learned from hundreds, if not over 1,000 of my guests, that we as human beings are best and we feel our best when we're giving back to others. And that's what Nicole decided to do. That's what Renee decided. You know, Renee could have gone off and just raced and had a good old time, right? But no, she's decided to raise money for this noble cause. I have another guest who her father murdered her mother. He was an abusive man. And she became a driving coach. And what she does is goes around and talks to women's groups and tells women, helps them learn how to get out of these situations so that they don't end up like her mother did. And
amazing.
Again, she said, I learned that this is a way I can give back after the tragedy that is in my life. And I've heard these stories over and over again. Tim Medvets was a guest on my show. He was a motorcycle builder, chopper builder to the stars. He dated Cher for 4 years. He was a Hell's Angel. This guy was a rabble rouser. He was a wild man. And he almost got killed in an accident. And when he was recovering from his very serious surgery, almost lost his leg, he got addicted to pain pills and alcohol. And his life went into a downward spiral. And he was considering suicide. And he ended up meeting a veteran who'd lost his legs. And the veteran said, Tim, you need to find a goal in life, something to do that helps other people. Why don't you start by creating a massive goal for yourself? And Tim did. He decided to climb Mount Everest when his leg healed. Well, his doctors told him he'd never walk again. That was a pretty bold move. And you know what? Tim went and climbed Mount Everest, and then he started the Heroes Project and started helping veterans who needed help to recover from their catastrophic limb loss in their injuries at war. And he took the first quadriplegic up to, not quad, paraplegic. He lost two legs. Quad would be tough.
Yeah.
He had lost two legs, first man to climb Mount Everest without any legs.
Isn't that amazing?
So I could tell you story after story after story like this that I uncovered in listening to people's stories. But again, the underlying secret sauce to life, and I'm going to give it to your audience today, all of you, find a way in your life to help other people. It will enlighten you. It will impress your life and increase the joy in your life and the passion in your life in ways you never dreamed could happen.
You know, Mark,
it's incredible,
fascinating hearing those stories, and it kind of reinforces something that my dad actually said to me several times over the years, and that was, when you think that you're out of ideas and life is not treating you right, all you got to do is look around and you will find all kinds of inspiration in other people's challenges, in other people's wins, in other people's successes. You can find a reason to keep on. It's fascinating stuff. You know, it's kind of like the golden rule. No matter how many times you hear it and what different configurations you hear it, it's pretty basic stuff, and it's really true. I'm gonna kind of dovetail to something you talked about, helping other people. You, in addition to the Cars Yeah podcast, you also do another show with Keith Martin. You're the publisher of Sports Car Market. It's titled, I want to say, Buy, Sell, Hold. Is that right? Is my memory good?
Absolutely. Yeah, I started that with Keith this February.
And
I
that's kind of a thing for people who are like looking to get into collector car investing, right?
Right. We interview people. It's a once-a-week show every Tuesday. You can find it on my website or Sports Car Market Magazine's website. We interview people whose careers are primarily in the investing part of classic cars. So these are people that are either large collectors, they're people that buy and sell collector cars, or they're auction houses. So they're people that work in that industry, and we talk about the current market conditions. We talk about their industry. We talk about a car that they bought, a car they sold, and a car that they'll never sell, that they'll hold on to, buy, sell, hold.
Yep.
So it's all about that. And, it comes out every Tuesday. It's really proved to be a really fun collaboration that I'm doing with Keith. I've known Keith for a long, long time. I've been a subscriber to his magazine for, I think since the beginning, back when it was an Alpha newsletter. So it's a really fun thing. So, I've decided that five wasn't enough each week. I think I'll add another one.
Why not?
My wife thinks I'm nuts.
Well, you know, it's paying the bills, so that's okay. A little nuts is all right.
Well, Mark, one of the things I've discovered is I did 10 years of Hog Radio, and we did 500 episodes because we did it on a weekly basis. But we interviewed probably 450 people out of those 500 episodes, and a lot of people we interviewed, very, very, very same kind of thing. These are individuals in the motorcycling realm. They lost a child, they lost a loved one, or they faced a hardship, and they turned it around and said, I'm going to do some kind of a charity run or a charity auction or an event, and they start an annual thing. And the next thing you know, year after year, they're giving back, and they've got people rallying, and they're raising money for this and that. And it was a way for them to work through their grief and give them hope and basically take something that was bad, turn that cloud into silver lining. And I've discovered I'm a very faith-oriented person, so I love serving. And so I love hearing the story. Mark, as far as a podcast, and you collect, if I remember right, you're also a avid collector of Porsches. Is that dimmed over the years, or are you still doing some of that?
Well, I still have one of my collectible cars. I bought it about 11 years ago. One of the things that private colleges do for parents is it diverts your investment funding
yes.
to cars and my vintage racing to other areas like tuition bills and things like that. So, I had two race cars, two motorcycles. I think I had four or five collectible cars at one point. And so what I'm down to right now is I have a 1987 930 Turbo. Two organizations are doing something really fun right now. They're virtual cars and coffees, both the LeMay Museum, which I'm very
yes.
involved with, and also the Peterson Museum, of which I've had Terry Cargas and Michael Bodell, their director of marketing and operations, on my show. They're doing these virtual. So today I film videos for those events where you can film a video, put it on their pages, and then it's kind of like going to a cars and coffee, but we're all at home, but at least we can see what people would drive up in what they would do. So, I still have that car. I've had 11 years. It would take an awful lot to pry it out of my fingers because in the 80s when I got married, I really wanted a Porsche Turbo, but I had a new home. I had two babies, a wife who decided to stay home and raise those kids, and I had just left a job to start this startup thing at Grios Garage, so I had taken a pay cut. So getting a Turbo was not on my list. So I finally fulfilled that dream about 11 years ago, thanks to eBay. So
very nice. Now, do you still have the M3?
Oh, yeah, I still have my M3. That car, it's an E46 05. I ordered that car new, exactly how I wanted it. And honestly, I don't see how I could let that car go. Every time I drive it, it brings a smile to my face.
You know, everybody that I've ever known who's had an M3 has said something along those lines. They're just great cars. They just figured it out.
They do everything.
Hey, I would be remiss.
They do everything.
I would be totally remiss if I did not mention that Mark is also available as a keynote speaker if you have an automotive event or a summit or a dance or a prom or a dinner show or whatever you would enjoy.
Well, I haven't done a prom yet, but
I bet you could.
I've gone to Business Advance. I was an MC this time last year
right.
at the Classic Auto Show. Interviewed lots of people on stages, given motivational speeches and things. I did one at the Porsche Club back in January. So thanks for mentioning that. Yeah,
oh,
it's
no
kind
worries.
Of a fun sidebar that's happened with what I'm doing.
It's got to be quick. Hey, I appreciate the time that you've given us tonight, Mark. Mark Green is the host of Cars Yeah, the second most incredible automotive podcast in the entire known universe. And
there
believe us,
there
we are fans from the word go. And Mark, I really appreciate you taking time to stop by and talk with us tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. And real quickly, I've got a gift for all your listeners.
Oh, I like
it. Go to my website and they click on the free filler up book button. There's a free book button there.
Super dupe. Thank you, Mark.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206- 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Got a new machine, gonna blow the scene. Cause trouble makes rubble like you never seen. My motor's clean, it's fixed.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert. What's on deck for this week, Brady?
Oh, this week. You know, we're back with Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy. It's one of Lance's books. He's got, of course, Grins, Gears, and Gasoline is the other car-related one. He's got several, but these are just terrific books if you're looking for something to entertain with. I think just about every car-oriented family should have a story night.
Yes.
I mean, you can certainly use ours if you like, but it would be fun to go through some of these stories. That's what people used to do before television. Not that I personally remember that, but
no.
I'm old, but I'm not that old. Anyway, this one is from Fenders, Fins, and Friends, and it's called Humpy. And I'm going to offer zero explanation for that.
I hear
the
ya.
Story will tell itself, although there's a picture.
I was thinking of a porpoise or something, maybe.
Well, kind of. Think of a humpback whale.
That's what I was kind of thinking, yes.
All right. So yeah. There's a reason that I think car people are the best people in the world. A few years ago, I had the honor of attending the Toppers Car Club's 50th anniversary party. A car club, 50 years. The group of people, car people, many of them, who I'd never met personally, they made me feel like we'd been friends for our entire lives. Now, while enjoying the event, I was told about a member's recent loss and the club's caring response. So Bob is a lifelong car nut and a longtime member of the Toppers, and one of Bob's cars is a little bit unusual. It is a 1938 Dodge panel truck, but what makes this car even more unusual is that it is a humpback model. Now, there's a picture of that truck in the book, which, of course, if I hold it up to the microphone real carefully, you'll see it, but I won't. What I'm going to do, though, is take a picture of it and post it on the page so you can see it, or you could just Google 1938 Dodge humpback panel and you'll see it. The cargo area in this truck is a few inches higher than the cab, which results, of course, in a rise or a hump where the cab roof blends into the cargo area right behind the front
door. It's a pre-Sprinter.
Kind of like that, except it doesn't slant like the Sprinters. It actually
it
goes back.
That and then higher.
Yeah.
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 without going to a total panel truck.
Exactly, yeah. So this design feature resulted in the truck being, you know, sculpted and nicknamed Humpy by Bob and his family. And I'm going to show you the picture of it. Steve can look real carefully. You see it?
Oh, wow. Yes.
It's a very cool picture. And I'm going to put this on the page so that people can see it. Bob and his wife had two sons, one of whom was developmentally disabled. Son Richard's disability didn't stop him from loving cars, and he especially loved Humpy. So every day, when Bob came home from work, his son Richard would yell, "Humpy, Humpy, Humpy," resulting in Bob and his son taking a short ride in the Dodge. Now, another ritual was part of Richard's life. Every night, his mother, father, and brother would sing him a lullaby when he went to bed. A complete day for Richard included a ride in Humpy and his bedtime lullaby. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to families like that, you know?
I used to say stories to my son every night.
I did, too. Yep. As time went by, the Dodge fell into disrepair and was left under a tarp in the garage. And as Richard got older, he developed an illness that eventually took his life. Something wonderful, however, came out of this tragic event that provided the sensitivity and respect and love among car people. Members of the Toppers Car Club and friends from the Capers Car Club decided that Richard should have one last ride in Humpy. A dozen members worked around the clock for three solid days refurbishing the Dodge. The dents were removed, the body was painted, the interior was reupholstered, the engine was brought back to life, and all of the other details needed to give life back to Humpy were completed. The selfless dedication of these car people is an example of how the car community treats its own members.
Wow.
Nobody asked for a dime. During Richard's funeral service, his mother, father, and brother expressed their appreciation to the car folks. They then stood next to Richard's casket and sang him his last lullaby. Richard took his last ride in Humpy on the way to his final resting place. And there's also a picture in the back of the story here of the Toppers Tacoma and the Capers Tacoma car club badges, the ones that usually hang on the cars. And it's a great story. It reminds me a little bit of the story about the Hot Rod Lincoln, where the guys found the car and refurbished it and gave it back to Charlie Ryan. But, you know, it's both interesting and not surprising at all to hear a story like this, because, first off, it's a great thing to do. And, you know, you say to yourself, if ever I was in a situation like that, I sincerely hope that I would step up and do those things. And yet it's not surprising at all, because that's the kind of people that seem to be, you know, populating this hobby. This kind of story is not unusual. I've heard versions of it, you know, several times, not just in Lance and David Dickinson's
I know
Dickinson's
somebody,
books.
We've got past guests on our show and who have their own Facebook pages and car clubs, and I'm on there, and I'm amazed sometimes at what people do. They gather together when somebody dies or passes away, and then how they come around and they show support, and they do different parades and things like that together. And they help out with money and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So when you are a part of a community, it is a very tight-knit community. People tend to reach out and help, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a friend, a lifelong friend, 50 years we were friends, and a few years ago he passed from cancer, but he had a 1964 Ford Thunderbird that he loved, and it was his baby. And after he passed, his wife and family, on his gravestone, laser engraved a picture of the car.
Wow.
And other things, too, of course, you know, but the car was there.
Yep.
And so when we had the service, many people brought things to leave on the stone, because you do that.
Right.
I brought a model, a little, you know, matchbox model of the motorcycle that he had, and the car.
Oh, wow.
And every now and then I go by the cemetery, because it's close to where I work.
Right.
And it's still there.
Think most people leave those things alone. Very few people. I mean, you hear about some vandalizing now and then, but...
Oh, yeah, I suppose, but no.
But most people leave that alone, because that's respect.
Sure,
I mean,
of course.
It honors the loved ones who leave that as behind.
Well, it's worth nothing to anybody except them.
Oh, I know. And speaking of a 64... I've been watching, thanks to YouTube, Route 66.
Yes, of course.
And I did a little
Todd and Buzz.
Yeah, I did a little reading, and it turns out it went from 60 to 64, and I didn't realize how, you know, it was 4 years, or actually five
almost.
Years.
It's almost.
Almost
5 years.
Four and a half seasons.
Yeah.
And then the fella that played Todd, he ended up going in, or Buzz, he ended up going into... because he was the blonde guy.
Yeah,
he
Martin
ended up
Milner.
Going into he went on to Adam 12, which actually went for 7 seasons.
Yeah,
and I didn't know this.
Well, plus after 4 years, they had pretty much run out of Route 66. I mean, there was only a certain Route 66 was 2,000 miles, but
they said that they actually did a lot more than just Route 66.
I'm sure they did. They had to,
but. You think about the fact that that was shot all over the United States.
Oh, yeah.
The budget for that had to be a little more than your typical, I Love Lucy kind of thing. Because
I'll bet you it wasn't. Because,
in the description, I did the reading, and it said the actual writer and location director would go out, and then he would write according to the setting. And
I was
sitting there watching stuff. They're on old ships in New Orleans. They're all over they are all over. And maybe they shot some in L.A. and pretended it was somewhere else.
I'm sure that there was a lot of set work done. But the location stuff had to be real because people know what the road is like.
Well, actually, everything was set in just whatever buildings they came into.
Well, except when they were driving.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even then, they had shots where they were... I just find it a very unique, and it was very dramatic.
It was all in black and white.
It was.
So are you watching, have they colorized any of the episodes?
No, because they didn't do that in that day. Now,
but they all do.
Adam 12, they did.
Yeah, well, Adam 12 was shot in color.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they colorized it, because I've been watching the original stuff that somebody's put up on YouTube, and it's not in succession. I did find the first episode, but it's kind of like boom, boom, boom. I just find it very intriguing. A lot of shows, whether it was Gunsmoke or whatever, were all what you would call, there were stories, what's the,
morality place,
Morality place.
It was serialized.
Yes. But just great stuff.
Yep.
And seeing that Corvette.
Well, it was easy to write a show that was simply, a lesson.
It is.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Hey, thanks to Lance Lambert for letting us read his book. It's always cool to share those stories. The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is coming up next. Also a peek at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. Horsepower, Chrome and Rust will be back. Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about the upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, last week our question was a tough one. Well, it isn't really all that tough. Tail fins was the question. Tail fins were introduced on cars in what year? And on what car. And I gave a clue last week. I said that if you understood Harley Earl, you probably would be able to figure this out. And of course, there were several people who knew this one or who could get to Google fast enough to do this. But the one who actually won was a great guy. His name is Alemani Muhammad, but everybody calls him Mo. And he lives in Gary, Indiana. And he sent me a Facebook Messenger. He says, "This is Mo. I know." Now, on Sunday morning, there's a show that Mo Rocca does as part of the Henry Ford Innovations Museum.
Okay.
It's called The Mo You Know.
Oh.
And it just cracks me up. He says, "I'm Mo. I know." And so the answer, of course, was Harley Earl introduced the tail fins on the Cadillac in 1948.
Oh.
And that was the first car that had officially tail fins. They weren't very big. If you know what the 48 Cadillac looks like, it was just a little kind of a limp, a lump thing. But it was there. And fins didn't really go away on cars for over a decade. They lasted through 59, right? 62, really.
Right.
And then they started kind of disappearing. Yeah, Harley Earl was the guy. Of course, he was a General Motors stylist, and he did a lot of cool stuff. Harley designed the Corvette in 1953.
Wow.
And the car still in publication today, production. Anyway, that was a good one. So congratulations to Mo. He's going to get his name put on the full 8x10 color winner's certificate, which, of course, lets him be posed with the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust Can. And our question for this week is Guide Michelin, the Guide Michelin, which, of course, is a huge travel guide that, was published on paper for years and years and years. Now, of course, you get it online. But the very first Guide Michelin published mostly contained a list of what? It wasn't always a travel guide. It started off as a list of something, and if you know the year that the first Michelin guide was produced, you score extra points. Give us a shout on Facebook. You can get us, of course, contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, naturally. And you can also send us a Facebook Messenger or any other method that you think would work to get hold of us, the Guide Michelin.
You know, that isn't like the Rand McNally Atlas or anything like that.
No, they had some maps in there, but really it was more of a travel guide, but it didn't start out that way.
Oh,
and so if you know how it started out, that's your question for next week, and you too could have your name enshrined in the Nathan Lipinski Automotive Trivia question.
Automotive trivia. Well, and I want to thank all the people that are liking us on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
tell all your friends to like us. We want to get up to 1,000 likes. And we are well over 300 or 700. So
yeah, that would be great.
I would love to see a lot of people getting on there. I know
cool.
We've got. Well, I discovered we're on a lot of podcasts.
We're on a lot of podcasts,
podcast
and of course
there.
The YouTube channel is coming along. You can check the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page for all of those things. We reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week, and your message gets directly to them. So if you got a business that caters to car people, let us know. We can work for you too. You can email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or of course you can message us on Facebook. And I do want to take a minute and thank everybody for liking and following our website and our Facebook page, because, you know, Steve says it, but I say it, and Shane would say it if he was here. By the way, Shane's doing okay. He's just being really, really careful about this whole coronavirus, virus thing, and we support him in that. Our archives, should you desire to waste time listening to our previous shows, are at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. We are, of course, on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on iHeartRadio. We're in a whole bunch of places. Probably we're on the, wall at the corner tavern if you decided you wanted to look around the corner and see it. It's entirely possible. Hey, we want to thank Mark Green of Cars Yeah for chatting this week. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I am still Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we are going to trip the lights on another Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.